Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, give God some praise. Bless the Lord. Listen, real quick. We are in good fashion today. We are excited because we have a guest preacher today. Some of you already know who he is. You know, he's been here and he's performed as a gospel rapper. He goes by the name of Focus. But today, But today he's Pastor Omar. Everybody say Pastor Omar. So he's affectionately known again as Focus. He is the youth and young adult pastor at the Oak Grove, at the Grove Church in Portsmouth, Virginia. He is currently furthers education at the Virginia DeWitt, the Virginia Union, Samuel DeWitt Proctor School of Theology. He is a philanthropist. He's a missionary. He is a servant after God's own heart. And so, come on. So can y'all do me a favor, Bridge Church family? Can y'all put your hands together for Pastor Omar as he comes? Hallelujah.
Now can you do me a favor and put your hands together for our King of Kings, for our Lord of Lords, for our great Redeemer? Come on. Who is the King of Glory? He is the Lord strong and mighty. And he is the Lord mighty in battle. Can you do me a favor for 30 seconds? Can you just lift the praise into this atmosphere and let your praise be a welcome mat that says, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come on. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on. God inhabits the praises of his people. Let's set the atmosphere. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into the sanctuary. We welcome your wisdom into the sanctuary. We welcome your authority into the sanctuary. And we speak well of you, Lord. Lord, you are great and you are greatly to be praised. And we worship you. We acknowledge you. We adore you. We come to give you praise that says that we are grateful. We've come to give you praise that says, Lord, you are worthy. We've come to give you praise that demonstrates to you that you are high and lifted up. So we exalt you, Lord, above our issues. We exalt you above everything that has taken place in this week. We exalt you above everything that is taking place in this world. God, you are exalted. Father, in these moments that we share together, we pray that your glory would be made tangible among us. Father, I thank you for the Spirit of the living God that you have left with us as a gift, the Holy Spirit who is our helper and our comforter. Father, we're thankful because your word says that the Holy Spirit knows all things. The Holy Spirit knows the very secrets and mysteries of God. It is the Holy Spirit that makes the plan of God known to us. So, Father, over these next few moments, I pray that the Holy Spirit would search the hearts and minds of every individual that's tuned in online and every individual represented in the sanctuary. And I pray, Father, that you would feed us the bread of heaven until we want no more. Father, I pray that your people would leave here today with no ambiguity, but they would leave here with clarity concerning the next steps for their future. Father, I pray that the peace of God, yes, Lord, I pray that the peace of God would be made tangible amongst your people. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that for every individual who has so many things competing for their attention and their focus and their concentration, even the now, I pray that you would put their mind at ease, that they would not think about the cares of this life while they're in this service, but they can take a moment to unplug from their cares and they can be cared for in your presence. Father, have your way in the sanctuary, have your way online, have your way in our hearts, and let us be persuaded by the richness and the goodness of your word. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let everybody shout amen, amen, and amen. Can you do me a favor and put your hands together one more time just for the presence of God in this room? It is an honor to stand before you all and preach God's word to you. I have been here several times before, but I have always come to rap. But this morning, I have a different assignment, and I am glad to honor that assignment. Even in their absence, can we celebrate Pastor Jones and Lady Jones, even in their absence? We thank God for the great kingdom work that is taking place here at the Bridge Church. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. It is such an honor to serve here. I thank God for you all this morning. I am thankful for the great hospitality that is consistently shown to me every time I come here to serve. Now it is time for the word. Are y'all ready for the word? Amen. Do me a favor. I want you to turn with me in your Bible, your tablet, your iPad, your Android, your iPhone to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. I thank God for Pastor Battle this morning, and I want to celebrate and honor my mentors here. He serves in so many different capacities. My mentor is an apostle in the Lord's church, but he serves with so much humility that even though he's an apostle in the Lord's church, he will serve as my armor bearer whenever I have to go out for ministry engagements. So could y'all do me a favor and just celebrate Apostle Ken Bradley, who was with us this morning? Thank you so much to come to serve with me. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, the New Living Translation, it reads like this. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. I want to stop reading right there. I want to preach to you all this morning from the thought topic, it happens in his presence. Do me a favor and look at the person beside you and say, neighbor, it happens in his presence. Amen. I want to tell you a story really quickly about this man by the name of Paul. Not the Apostle Paul, but your regular average Joe by the name of Paul. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if y'all realize this, but developing puppy fever is a real thing. And Paul developed puppy fever, and he decided he was going to go out and purchase a dog. But Paul enjoys hunting in his spare time. So Paul did not want to go and just purchase any type of dog. He wanted to purchase a hunting dog. So he goes out, and he purchases a beagle. And after a few months of raising this puppy, a few months of raising this beagle, Paul concludes that there is nothing that is special about my beagle. This beagle will probably not bark at intruders. He probably will lick the intruder's hand. This dog is taking forever to be potty trained. So he concludes that there is nothing that is unique about his dog. But this past Christmas, Paul and a few of his friends decided that they were going to go and rent a cabin for the weekend. They rent a cabin for the weekend, and as they rent the cabin for the weekend, they decide that they want to go quail hunting. Paul's best friend also owns a beagle. Paul's best friend says, "Can I bring my beagle with me on our hunting trip?" They go on this hunting trip, and Paul begins to observe his best friend's beagle. As they are quail hunting, Paul's best friend's beagle would run up to the quail cubbies, and he would sniff out the quail, and then he would lift his tail straight in the air. He would not bark at the quail cubbies because he did not want to alert the quail that there was intruders on the way. Paul was so enamored, and he watched as his best friend's beagle performed his best responsibility. And Paul asked his best friend, "How in the world did you train your dog how to do this?" And to Paul's surprise, Paul's best friend said, "I never actually trained my dog how to do this. I just kept bringing him with me on hunting trips. And the more that I brought him with me on hunting trips, the more that he began to do what was naturally instinctive to him. Bridge Church, here is the revelation. The more that the beagle was in the right presence, the more that the beagle was in the right environment, the more that the beagle was in the right atmosphere, he began to do what was naturally instinctive for him to do. May I suggest to you this morning that the right environment and the right atmosphere will bring out of you what is already locked up on the inside. I would like to suggest to you, Bridge Church, that when you were created with intelligent design. Shout intelligent design. The Creator who created you with intelligent design also created atmospheres that would bring out of you your reason for your design. When you were born, you were handcrafted with intention. Let me let you know something. There is intentionality for the gifts that you were given. Your charisma, your ability, your intellect, your personality, your sense of humor, it all has intention. But in order for you and I to do what we were intended to do, we need to receive instruction from the one who created us with intent. And we receive that instruction in his presence. Somebody shout, it happens in his presence. So Bridge Church, in this theme of receiving instruction from the one who created you with intent, we have this story of Moses who is being invited into an atmosphere where God is speaking. Moses is a man who was raised in the Pharaoh's house. So Moses is a man who was raised in privilege. Moses is a man who was raised in protection. Moses is a man who was raised in provision. But Moses was not raised in purpose. Moses, church, has a moment where he is exposed to purpose. But watch this. He could not perceive that moment as purposeful because when purpose showed up, it showed up in the form of agitation. Don't worry, I got receipts. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, the Bible declares that Moses saw an Egyptian guard beating on one of the Hebrews. So Moses gets agitated and irritated by what he sees, and he kills the Egyptian guard, and he hides his body in the sand. Listen to me, the witnessing of oppression agitated Moses because Moses was created to be a deliverer. But Moses did not have language for his agitation. May I suggest to you that you and I need to pay a little bit more attention to the things that agitate us. Is it possible that the things that agitate you, it agitates you so deeply because God actually created you to be a solution for the thing that's agitating you? But here it is, Moses, he mismanaged his agitation and he revealed anger where God was actually trying to reveal assignment. Somebody shout assignment. So watch this. As a result, Moses, he forfeits his privilege, he forfeits his provision, and he runs to a far off land. And there he finds a new career. There he finds a new way of life. There is where he marries and establishes a family. And though he has a career, though he has a great way of life, though he has a family, the one thing that Moses still does not have is instruction for his existence. He has no language for why he is here. He has no language for his upbringing. He has no language for why he was exposed to what he was exposed to. And the instruction for his existence can only come from one place. The language for his future can only come from one place. The explanation for why God allowed what he allowed in his past, it only comes from one place. And it happens in his presence. Shout one more time. It happens in his presence. So here it is. God appears to Moses at the burning bush with the sole purpose of extending an invitation into his presence. But the extended invitation into his presence is really God extending an invitation to give Moses language for his purpose. I would like to suggest this. In your life, if you need more insight to God's plan, that means you need more initiative to remain in his presence. Because God's presence is the place of reveal. Insight to the future only takes place in the presence of God. So if we look at the encounter that Moses has at the burning bush, we discover the blueprint of God's desired outcome from us being in his presence. Yes, God has a desired outcome from our encounters in his presence. God does not manifest his presence without intention. God does not make his presence known to us without intention. When God makes his presence known, it is because he wants to make his plans known. When God makes his presence known, it is because he wants to make his peace known. When God makes his presence known, it's because he wants to make the route to our provision known to us. God has a desired outcome from us being in God's presence. It is in God's presence where God unveils parts of himself to us. The burning bush is what we classify as theophany. Shout theophany. I'm going to explain it. Theophany is the physical manifestation of a deity. God, through the burning bush, he physically manifests his presence. And when he physically manifests his presence, we have declared that this burning bush experience is a miracle. But even out of the miracle, God is trying to get a message through to the person he is performing the miracle for. We see here at the burning bush that the presence of God is a place of revelation. That's why in moments of high praise and when God manifests his presence, things are revealed about his character as his presence fills the room. That's why the Bible declares that God inhabits the praises of his people. And as a result of God inhabiting the praises of his people, psalmists can pen words like, "Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord strong and mighty. He is the Lord mighty in battle." Because as God makes his presence known to us, in return, he starts to make his characteristics known to us. And out of God making his characteristics known to us, this is how we can begin to praise God. To praise God means to speak well of God. So when God makes his presence known to us, he begins to unveil parts of himself that has been a mystery to us. So here it is. It is something about praise that produces God's presence. And when I come into contact with God's presence, I start to receive more information about who he is. Because God's presence is the place of revelation. But not only do you receive more information about who God is, in God's presence, you actually start to receive more information about who you are. That's why in moments of praise, we can sing songs like, "You're a good, good father, that's who you are. And I'm loved by you, that's who I am." As God makes it known to us who he is, it is also his responsibility to make it known to us who we are in him. Here it is, Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible begins to show us what is flowing out of God's presence. Can I unpack this chapter for a second? Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Here is what the Lord says to Moses, flowing out of the burning bush. He says, "Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt." The first two words represent direction. He says, "Now go." Is it possible that some of us are void of direction because we're void of God's presence? Help me, Holy Spirit. And this season that we are in our lives, there are many of us who are contemplating and considering what is the strategy for the future. It is flowing out of the presence of God where God actually begins to give us strategy concerning the future. It is in the presence of God, don't miss this, it is in the presence of God where God decided to reveal his plan. But Moses also receives identity in God's presence. Moses, if you ever question who you are, let me tell you, you are the one that I am sending to accomplish my plan. The presence of God is where you receive confirmation that you are God's choice to fulfill his plan in all the earth. Let me tell you who Moses was before this. Moses was a murderer. Moses had a speech impediment. The man of God stuttered real bad. Moses was imperfect, but Moses was God's choice. Apart from God's presence, he had no affirmation of who he was. But in God's presence, he received firsthand information concerning what God thought about him. May I let you know that maybe God is trying to draw us closer into his presence so he can actually affirm who we really are. In spite of all of your mistakes, you are still God's choice. In spite of whatever your hangups may be, you are still God's choice. In spite of the things that you have discredited, you are still God's choice. In spite of your sexual appetite, you are God's choice. In spite of the flaws of your yesteryears, you are God's choice. I'm going to preach until your spirit gets happy. In spite of all of the mistakes that you have made, God is drawing us closer to his presence so he can continue to affirm that no matter what has taken place in your past, your past does not disqualify you for the plan of fulfillment that is awaiting you in the future. So I'm drawing you closer to my presence so I can draw you away from my pain. I'm drawing you closer to my presence so I can draw you away from your problems. I'm drawing you closer to my presence so I can draw you closer to purpose. I'm drawing you to my presence so I can draw you closer to the promise that is awaiting you. I'm drawing you closer so I can affirm you that you are mine, you are loved, and you are my choice. And no matter what has taken place, my word is final, and you are my choice concerning what I'm going to accomplish in your future. So here it is. It is important to stay connected to sermons and speeches and songs that will echo what God is saying. Moses did not know how God felt about him because Moses had spent so much time considering how he felt about himself. Some of you don't know what God thinks about you because you've spent so much time giving an ear to your own anxiety. You've spent an abundant amount of time giving an ear to your lowest moments. Moses was a murderer. Moses had a speech impediment. Moses probably felt like a coward because he fled his own people to go and find his own rest and resolve. But in spite of all that Moses felt about himself, God was intentional about saying, let me appear to you so that I can conquer the feelings that you have about yourself and reveal to you what I actually think about you. The moment he connected to God's presence, he is informed that in spite that of all you've done, you're still mine. So flowing out of God's presence, Moses receives direction, Moses receives identity, and Moses receives an assignment. Shout assignment. Here it is, all in verse 10. God says, now go, for I am sending you. That's direction. He says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to lead. You are a leader. That's identity. Flowing out of the presence of God, God is going to give you direction, and then God is going to reestablish your God-given identity. Help me, Holy Spirit. Some of us have identity, but we don't have a God-given identity. God is saying, I know how you have identified yourself. I know how people have misidentified you. But let me draw you closer so I can let you know that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I saw all of your days laid out before me. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I predestined you and I called you and I established your identity before your mother and father even came together. So in spite of how other people have misclassified you, God is saying, let me draw you closer to me so I can establish who you were created to be. And then God says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to lead my people out of Egypt. That is assignment. That is purpose. That is the reason for his existence. He gives him direction. He gives him identity. He gives him an assignment. Moses, this is what you were born to do. Watch this. You're married, that's great. You have a career, that's great. You've got a family, that's great. But this assignment is your birthright. Help me, Holy Spirit. You did not earn this. You don't deserve this. But simply because the Lord says, I am God and you are my choice, that alone settles it. Let me help some of you in here who continue to try to rationalize God's purpose for your life because you don't feel deserving of the call. God is saying you will never do anything with your works that will make you feel good enough. It is because my grace and my unmerited mercy that I have spoken what I have spoken over your life. God was the first person to ever say, I said what I said, because what God said about you, it is settled, and nothing that took place in your yesteryears is going to cause God to change his mind concerning his promises for you. I believe that some of you are going to experience the glory of the Lord in all of your endeavors simply because you're God's choice. Your hang-ups won't change the fact that you are God's choice. God is saying in this moment, I sense this very strongly, that I am not changing my mind concerning you. And I need some of you in this room to make peace with God's plan concerning your life. God, watch this. Some of us are living in the tension of saying yes to a call that we did not ask for. God, I did not ask for this. God, I did not even sign up for this. But because you said it, I have to bring my heart and my habits into alignment with what God is requiring me to do. I'm going to say that again. For many of us, we have to bring our heart and our habits into alignment with God's plan for our life. Some of us verbally with our mouth is saying, God, my heart says yes, but God says, what about your habits? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God, what the New Living Translation says, God will change you into a new person by changing the way that you think. When you begin to think differently, your habits will reflect what is on your mind. So here it is, flowing out of God's presence, Moses receives direction, identity, and assignment. But even though Moses is anointed, he's still human. And while he is in God's presence, his humanity begins to get in the way. And God begins to give Moses language for his existence. And then Moses starts to respond with concerns. Moses begins to respond with questions. When you have questions, that means that you are either unsure or you are unclear. And Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Moses says, God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? And verse 10, God had already given Moses that answer. He said, you're the one that I'm sending. God gives him identity and says, you're my choice. But then he gives him assurance. Because you're my choice, I'll be with you. Look at the person beside you and say, he'll be with you. God gives Moses three things that are the blueprint for every believer: the plan, the process, the promise. Flowing out of God's presence, what God wants to establish with you and I, God wants to tell you, this is my plan. If you stay in his presence a little longer, he'll tell you, this is the process to said plan. And as a result of the plan and the process, this is the promise. Can I show it to you in the text? Here it is, verse 12, here's the promise. God answered, I will be with you. The presence of God is a place of assurance. Assurance is freedom from doubt. If the presence of God is a place of assurance, and assurance is freedom from doubt, that means that doubt dominates the minds of those who lack God's presence. You can't have God's presence and have doubt. Because in God's presence, he gives you assurance, which is the freedom from doubt. Here is a word for those of you in the room who struggle with anxiety. An anxious mind is a mind that needs to seek more of God's presence. You don't believe me, so I came with receipts. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." The anxious mind thinks of many outcomes. The mind that has been in contact with God's presence only thinks of one outcome. Because in God's presence, he makes you aware of one outcome, which is the final outcome, that all things work together for your good. And the presence of God, if you truly seek his presence, God will let you know how things are going to play out. I can show it to you in the text. Exodus chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. God gives Moses the outcome. I'm going to read it to you. God is speaking to Moses, still flowing out of God's presence. And he says this, "But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him." Verse 20, he says, "So I will raise up my hand and strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them. Then at last he will let you go." God's presence is the place where God's outcome for your life is revealed. In two verses, God revealed opposition, and then he revealed the outcome for the opposition. God's presence is also the place, watch this, where he gives you clarity for your concerns. I want to make you aware of something. God is a God who is aware of the things that are concerning you. Watch this. God is also a God who is aware of your unspoken concerns. Glory be unto God that we serve a God who is omniscient, which means that he is all-knowing, which means even the things and the words that I don't utter out of my mouth, even the concerns that I don't utter out of my mouth, God is a God who sits high, but he looks low. He can sense our infirmities. He can sense our anxiousness, and God's desire is to give you language and a resolve for the things that's concerning you. I can show it to you in Exodus chapter 4. Remember when I told y'all that Moses had got angry and he killed an Egyptian guard and then he fled the country? God, if there's one thing that I'm not trying to do is go back to a country where I'm wanted. God, the last thing that I want to do is go back to the crime scene and say, "Lord, here I am." That's the last thing that I want to do. And Moses does not, watch this, Moses does not articulate out loud that he is a little bit nervous about going back to Egypt because of what he did there. But then God addresses it in Exodus chapter 4, verse 19. This is what the Lord says. "Before Moses left Midian, the Lord said to him, 'Return to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you have already died.'" He puts his mind at ease because he can sense that this is concerning you, this is bothering you, and this is going to keep you from pursuing purpose because you're so anxious. But the very thing that you're anxious about is something that I have already taken care of. I gave this illustration on social media. I want to share it with you all. One of my favorite shows that I used to watch every Thursday night was a show called Scandal. And I love Scandal. And my favorite character from Scandal was Olivia Pope. Olivia Pope was a gladiator, and the woman of God could dress too. And Olivia Pope would take on clients who had issues that they could not handle on their own. So when they had issues that went beyond their capacity, they would make the call to Olivia Pope saying, "I cannot deal with this issue in my own power. I cannot deal with this issue in my own accord. So I'm calling you, Olivia Pope, to seek you out because I need some assistance." And Olivia Pope would take on that client and she would take on their issues. But Olivia Pope had a tag
tagline that she would say after she brought her client's resolve. She would call the client back and say, "It's handled." And I came here this Sunday morning to the Bridge Church to let you know that God was Olivia Pope before Olivia Pope was Olivia Pope. And everything that is concerning you and everything that is plaguing your mind and everything that's causing you to lose sleep at night, the Lord sent me here this Sunday morning to let you know that it's handled. I wish I had 15 people who would give God praise right here, because you know the things that I've been worried about, the things that have been causing me to lose sleep, the things that have been bothering me, the things that have been frustrating me, the things that have been holding me up from pursuing my purpose. The Lord wants you to know this Sunday morning that it's already handled. So here it is. I'm getting ready to close here. God's presence is the place where you can receive peace for your concerns. God's presence is a place where you receive instruction. And the presence of God, we see that strategy for the future is revealed. The very insight to God's plan is revealed in his presence. Assurance for God's promises are reiterated in God's presence. And God's presence is also the place, this is my last point, where God gives you the wisdom to use what you already have. Watch this. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Here it is. If you could pad for me, because I'm getting ready to close with this last point. Here's what the word of the Lord says. But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, "What is that in your hand?" "A shepherd's staff," Moses replied. Moses was a shepherd, so this shepherd's staff was something he was accustomed to utilizing. The shepherd's staff is also what he would use to perform miracles in Egypt. The shepherd's staff is also what Moses would utilize to split the Red Sea. Here is the revelation behind God asking Moses the question, "What is that in your hand?" It's a rhetorical question from the Lord, because the Lord is already aware of what Moses is carrying. But Moses was not aware of what he was carrying. There are many of us who feel like, "God, I need you to give me new resources for the assignment that you've given me. God, I need you to give me more before I go pursue the thing that you've called me to pursue." And God is saying, all that you need, you already have. Well, Moses, what is that in your hand? It is in the presence of God where God gives you the wisdom to do a reassessment. For some of you all, I sense this in the spirit prophetically. Some of you all need to use the guidance of the Holy Spirit to do inventory of the gifts that you already have. Because we're asking God, "God, give me more charisma. God, give me more wisdom. God, give me more strategy." God is saying, "I've given you enough charisma. I've given you enough wisdom. I've given you enough strategy. I just need you to assess what I've already given you. Because if you assess what I've already given you, I, God the Lord, will place my power on what you already possess." And when God places his power on what you already possess, you'll be able to split every Red Sea. You'll be able to establish legacy, because what you have, it's already enough. I wish I had 10 people who would allow their hearts to come into agreement that what I have is already enough. And if I trust God with the little that I do have, he'll make it much. If I trust God with what's already in my hand, every Red Sea that's in my life that is standing before me in my exodus, God will place his power on what I already possess, and he'll perform the miracle. He'll make the way. He'll establish the legacy. He'll use you to lead your family out of captivity. He'll use you to lead your community into God's future. He will lead you to lead legacy, because what he's given you is already enough. Stand on your feet all across the room. This story of God appearing to Moses at the burning bush, this Sunday school story that we've heard all our life, it is so much deeper than a miracle of a bush being caught on fire and not being consumed. It is at the burning bush that God makes his presence manifest, and God actually gives us language for what our encounters with his presence should look like. And the presence of God in your devotion time, in time that you labor and lay out before the Lord, he will reveal to you his plan. He will reveal to you his process, and he will reveal the promise. He will reveal the outcome for what he is leading you to do. So in seminary, they always ask us a question in sermon prep. What is your behavioral objective? Well, my behavioral objective this morning was to articulate a message that would persuade you to recommit to God's presence. For some of us, we've committed to the verse of the day on our Bible app, and that's great. We bless God that you are faithful with your verse of the day on your Bible app. I praise God if you follow the spiritual world or you follow a sprinkle of Jesus on Instagram. That is great. Continue to follow. Continue to get that verse of the day. But God is trying to persuade us to really recommit to his presence. More than just a verse, I believe that God is leading us to really labor in his presence so that we can hear clearly from him. Because in God's presence, please don't miss this if you don't catch anything else, it was in God's presence where Moses received language for the future. He received strategy concerning the future. And I sense this prophetically in the room. There are many of us in the room who desperately need strategy for the next step. So I want to pray before I ask Pastor Battle to come back up here. If you were in this room and you can acknowledge, I need strategy for the future, I just want you to lift your hands wherever you are. I see your hands. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, Father, we thank you that you are a God who sees and assesses every need. God, I'm thankful because Moses did not come looking for you in this encounter. You went and found Moses and you presented yourself to him. God, thank you that you have done for us what you've done for Moses. And moments and seasons where we were not even looking for you, Lord, you appear to us. You reveal to us your strategy. You sent your word. Father, we're thankful that you are so considerate of us that you would present yourself to us and say, hey, what you have been doing is great, but I've got greater for you. God, thank you that flowing out of your presence, you give us strategy for the future. So now, God, I pray for an extreme level of focus and concentration in the lives of your people. I pray that habits and disciplines would be transformed and that you would even release a patience to sit still in your presence. God, some of us have a microwavable faith, but God, I have learned that you are a crockpot God. Sometimes we've got to sit still in your presence and wait for you to respond. So, Father, I pray that you would even redefine, hallelujah, and refine our model of prayer. God, we're thankful for the seasons where we would just tell you all that was on our mind and all that was on our heart, and then we would say amen. But, God, I pray that you would mature us in our prayer life, that we won't just go to you and articulate our thoughts and our plans and our desires and our aspirations and then say amen, but I pray that you would mature us to a place where we would sit still and we would journal and we would write out what we sense the Spirit of the living God is saying to us. So, Father, bring our habits into alignment with your presence. Bring our disciplines into alignment with your presence. And let us be transformed. Let us be refreshed because of the time that we spend in your presence. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would literally send revival to the prayer life of your people. Let times of refreshing come from your presence. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the grace of God. The grace of God, it is the assistance of God. Your grace assists us in everything that we need to do. So, Father, I pray for every individual now who may even be giving an ear to the enemy. They may be talking themselves out of this saying, I don't hear from the Lord. I don't know if I'll ever sense God God's voice. We expose the lies of the enemy. Satan, you are a liar. God, I pray now that you would begin to send divine frequency. Yes, Lord, there it is. Divine frequency to the hearts and the ears of your people, that they would hear you with clarity. God, you are not a God who can be placed in a box. You speak in more than one way. God, sometimes you speak to us through our intuition. Sometimes you speak by your voice. But God, in this season, however you desire to speak, we open up our hearts, we open up our minds, we open up our ears, and we open up our inner man. There it is. Thank you, Lord, that when you ascended to heaven, you told the disciples, I'm not leaving you by yourself, but I'm sending you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is your helper. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. The Holy Spirit is going to give you clarity. The Holy Spirit is going to make my plan clear. The Holy Spirit is going to walk beside you. The Holy Spirit is going to fuel you. The Holy Spirit is going to push you. The Holy Spirit is going to drive you. The Holy Spirit is going to hold you up. You don't have to pursue God's promises by yourself, but we've got the help of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, as we commit to your presence, draw us into a deeper relationship with the Spirit of the living God, who knows the mind of God and who knows the plan of God. And Father, we settle this prayer request with a praise. Father, we settle this prayer request with a praise all across the sanctuary. Everybody online, begin to seal this prayer request with a praise that says, Lord, I love you and I trust you. No matter the outcome, I love you and I trust you. No matter the process, I love you and I trust you. Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let everybody shout amen.